Let's pray. God, God, we come to you. God, we come into your presence. We come with the congregation and the assembly, God, to worship you, God, to lift you up, to lift you up in our hearts as our treasure and our supreme value, God. Of greater worth and value than our jobs, than our money, than our retirements, than our kids, than our possessions, than our very lives, God. You are worthy of praise. You are worthy of being the treasure of our hearts, God. So I just pray that your spirit would take your words, God, to encourage your people, to encourage me, to lift up just a song of praise to you, God. So thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. So you may be happy about this, but Henry is coming back next week. And maybe I'm happy about it. I don't know. It's been a little hard. But I appreciate everyone sticking with us here. So we walk through this idea of faith, and so this is the last sermon in the series. And last week, if you remember, I talked about, if you were here, I talked about the movie 50 First Dates with Adam Sandler and Drew Barrymore in 2004. And it's about amnesia. It's about an accident that happens, and there's a woman who has a certain kind of amnesia where she remembers everything up to a certain point in time, and she gets into an accident. And this 24, every day she goes to bed and wakes up forgetting what happened in the last day. And so, and I connected that to our amnesia, right? Where we come, let's say on a Sunday, you sing praises, you hear God's word, you fellowship with the people, you celebrate God, you go to growth group, and you know, you go to home groups, and you have dinners, and you have one-on-ones, and you encourage one another, and then you go to bed, and you wake up, and you're like Drew Barrymore, and you forget. You forget God. You forget the grace of yesterday. You forget his blessings of yesterday, right? And that's the human condition. We're forgetful, right? And this is actually an analogy Henry used many years ago, but I brought it back and I talked about like the milk carton and how God is trying to write his word on our hearts. That's what Corinthians says, right? He says he's no longer writing his word on a tablet that made of stone, like the Ten Commandments, but he's writing his word on the tablets of the human heart. And it's like a milk carton. Our hearts are like milk cartons. Have you ever tried? I've never actually tried to write on a milk carton, but I can imagine it, right? It's glossy, and you take a pen, and you're trying to write on it, and it doesn't stay, right? It doesn't stick on that milk carton. Because our hearts, they're forgetful. God's word does not write on our hearts very easily. And that's not a statement of judgment. It's not a statement of condemnation. It's just who we are, right? It's who I am. I already know, and it makes me sad. I already know I'm going to wake up tomorrow morning, and I'm going to forget. I'm going to forget the glory of God. I'm going to forget the faithfulness of God, the grace of God. I'm going to forget that he matters. I'm going to forget that he loves me. Okay? And then, so then I have to remember. And I have to remember on my own. I have to get together and remember. I have to read things. I have to sing things. I have to renew my mind to remember. And I also talked about how part of the challenge of our human hearts is that we see with our eyes, And what we see is so powerful, right? You see nice cars, and you see, you know, nice clothes, and you see the glories of man, and you see, you know, I used to joke with Tammy when we would drive through, you know, Vienna or Great Falls. I say, hide your eyes, baby, right? Don't look, right? Because it looks wonderful. They look really happy, right, in those big houses, right? So, you know, we see, and we feel less, and we feel like we're missing out on this wonderful life. I talked about Instagram last week and how I can't have Instagram. I just cannot. I mean, I could. I just can't, right? Because I see, and I see, wow, all these people have really wonderful lives, way better lives than I do, right? Going on vacations to Europe and doing all these fancy things and eating all these fancy foods, and, you know, and it's what we see. And seeing causes us to forget too, right? Forget God. And so when we're so enamored with the things that we see, we minimize God. We make him small. And so let me read a couple verses from last week, just as a reminder. It says, Matthew 6:19, this is Jesus talking. And he's talking about a very similar problem, right? Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. So people were trying to accumulate treasures on earth. We are trying to accumulate treasures on earth because it's what we see. And it makes us feel secure, it makes us feel comfortable, it makes us feel like we have some control. Jesus says in 6:25, Matthew 6:25, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. I don't know that any of us will starve, you know, or worried about not eating tomorrow. But if we turn that into a Northern Virginia, you know, modern challenge, yeah, don't worry about, you know, that next job or that next salary bump or that, you know, how much percent goes into your retirement. Don't worry about your children. Don't worry about schools and, you know, the glories of man. Because it's powerful, right? I think we all live it. I live it, and it's powerful. Okay? And in that power of our eyes and what we see, we forget. We have amnesia. It adds to the amnesia of God, right? We forget his blessing. We forget what matters in this life. We forget that life is short and that God loves us. And then Jesus says in Matthew 6:31-32, therefore, do not be anxious. So he's trying to give us a little bit of a solution here. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. He knows. So our anxiety, our worry, we minimize God. We make him small. We make him insignificant. Well, I got to chase after all these things because I don't know if God's going to take care of me. I got to prop up my children to be wonderful and glorious because I don't know if they're going to be okay being just average or below average. And it says, your heavenly Father knows. Don't minimize him. Right? And so, as we wrap up talking about faith, or lack of faith, I said last week, but I wanna build a little bit this week, right? It's not that you don't know God, necessarily. Some of you may not know God, but I would say 95% of you here. It's not that you don't know him. You've sat in hundreds of sermons. You presumably read your Bible once in a while. You can go on and listen to praise music. That's way, you know, sounds fantastic. And you can listen to better sermons than this. And you can go online and you can hear many things. It's not that you don't theologically understand maybe who God generally is, right? It's that you don't remember him when it matters, right? You have amnesia, you forget, right? the cares of this life, right? They consume us. And so much of walking by faith, not by sight, what I'm realizing is about remembering God, recalling Him. And I just want to clarify, this is really important for today, okay? There are two types of remembering, okay? One type of remembering is, my grandmother passed away about 12, 13 years ago, and there's a type of remembering where you're honoring the past, okay? And you want to honor, I want to honor her memory, and I want to remember how sweet she was and how much she loved me, right? But she passed away, right? I'm not talking about that kind of remembering, okay? There's another kind of remembering where in the busyness of life, okay, and all the things that we got to do at work and with our kids and, you know, all these tasks and driving around and these things I got to get done, I may forget my wife, Tammy, right? But I need to remember her by drawing near to her. It's different, right? So let me ask you this question. It's like, it seems obvious, right? But I feel like it needs to be said. Even as I wrote it in my notes, I was like, oh my gosh, right? Is God alive today? Because I think sometimes we treat Him like it's just like this distant memory. Like, oh, like that was like, you know, it's like remembering your, you know, grandparents or your ancestry or your lineage. Oh yeah, you know. It's not that kind of remembering. It's remembering because He is alive today. And He speaks. And He engages. And He draws close to us, and we draw close to Him. It's a different type of remembering. It's very important, okay? And I know I'm hitting a lot of like concepts here, right? But getting to the main concept for today, which is radical praise. Okay. I think this could probably be its own sermon series, and I'll let Henry know so he can take care of it maybe the next one. But we got one Sunday to hit this, and it's a lot. Okay. But praise is one of the primary tools that God gives us to remember Him and to draw close to Him. Okay? Praise is one of the primary tools that God gives us. So we'll define praise. Okay? We'll define what it is and how to do it. It's one of the primary tools that God gives us to remember Him, to recall and renew our minds and draw close to Him. Okay? So there's 3 points. Number one, what is praise? Okay, we got to define it biblically. Number two, why do we praise? And number three, how are we to praise? If you've been churched for a while, you probably kind of maybe like me at times interchangeably use the word praise and worship. Okay, the praise team, the worship team, Sunday worship, Sunday praise. They're actually different, actually. Okay. So, but we have to start by defining worship in order to define praise. Okay? Worship in the original Hebrew literally translates to bowing down. Okay? It's to prostrate and bow down. So, and what happens as you bow down is you ascribe worth and value to God. So in the etymology of the word worship is worth. Worth-ship. You are ascribing worth to God. You are saying, God, You are worth more to me than my money, my job, my glory, my kids, my status, my own life. God, you are of supreme worth and value. So that's why in Isaiah chapter 6, when the seraphim are flying around God and they're saying, holy, 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 set apart, uncommon. God, you're not like us. You are set apart, worthy, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is filled with his glory, right? They are worshiping God by lifting him up and bowing down. And God created us for worship, okay? So the Great Commission to go and make disciples, the greatest commandment to love God and love one another with all our heart, soul, and mind, and strength. When we meet with in growth group, when we meet in Sunday service, when we evangelize, when we share the gospel, we are trying to help people worship God by elevating God in their hearts to be of supreme value. That's why the first commandment says, you shall have no other gods before me. God is elevating himself and saying, he is the most important, supreme treasure in your life. Okay? And when things compete for that, that's called idol worship. That's called idolatry. And that's why he says, you know, you shall have no other gods before me. Because he deserves to be worshipped. He is worthy of worship. Okay? So let's read Exodus 34, 13 through 14. You shall tear, this is after Moses says to God, show me your glory. God comes. He says, you can't see me. You can only see my backside. I'm going to come. And then he proclaims his name, right? He speaks his name to Moses. And then Moses falls down and worships. That's what it says. He actually says he bows down and he worships God. This is after that. It says, God speaking to Moses, you shall tear down their altars and break their pillars and cut down their Asherim. He's talking about the neighboring foreign idols, the foreign things that compete for your heart, right? You shall not elevate in value and worth and treasure in your heart any other god. For the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. God created us to worship him. God created humanity to worship him, to elevate him, and worship is primarily in your heart. Okay? Now, praise is the outward expression of worship. Okay? So you can worship. Worship is primarily in your heart. God is king of your heart. He is the treasure of your heart. He is enthroned in your heart. Okay? And praise is the outward expression, the exclamation and the proclamation of God's value of worship. And I think I have a slide for this, Chris, but I went through, well, as best as I could in a week, I went through almost all 150 Psalms as fast as I could, okay? And I tried to pick out things that talked about praise. And there's, I hope you see, as especially we're going to read a lot of the Psalms today, I hope you see that there is a physicality to praise. There is enthusiasm. Okay? Shouts of praise. This, so I'm literally taking quotes from scripture. I don't have all the quotations. It's hard to see. You can go to YouTube and take a picture of it later. Okay? Shouts of praise, singing songs of praise, There are at least 30 references to singing praise to God in just the Psalms, okay? Make a joyful noise with songs of praise. My lips pour forth praise. My mouth declares your praise. 7 times a day I praise you. Lift your hands in praise. Praise him with melody, with tambourine, trumpets, music, harps, cymbals. The psalmist even goes out of his way to say loud crashing cymbals. Not just cymbals, but we want loud cymbals, okay? Praise with dance, okay? I don't know if we're ready for that here, but praise with dance. That's what the Bible says. Praise with the assembly, praise with the congregations of the people, praise him among the nations. Heaven and earth praise him. And I didn't even scratch the surface in the Psalms. I just picked out what could fit on the slide. So you can praise on your own. You can praise on your knees. You can praise one-on-one. But the vast majority of the context of praise is expressive. It's physical. It's enthusiastic. Okay? It is the outward expression, proclamation of worship, of God's value. So the question is, why do we praise? Right? What is the value of praising? Why would God command it? Why not just praise in our hearts, you know? Because maybe you don't feel confident about your singing, or maybe you're not a good dancer, or, you know, maybe you don't want to lift your hands, right? Maybe you don't want to be expressive. So why is it that he commands us, right? So as we read through the Psalms, I hope you see that God does not command us to praise because we think we will learn something new necessarily about God, right? So praise is not necessarily primarily teaching or learning. We do learn through praise and we do understand God in praise, but that's not, I don't think, the primary function of praise. We praise God as remembrance, to remind ourselves of the things that we already know, but we tend to forget about God. And not just me, but many situations talk about praise with others, in the congregation, in the assembly, amongst the people, across generations, right? So it's not necessarily learning new things, although you may learn new things, but I believe the primary reason God gives us the tool of praise and why we should be faithful to praise in the way that God commands is to remember the things that we tend to forget about God. Because we're forgetful, right? We're like those milk cartons. I'm forgetful. You know, his word is just, you know, just take some time. And praise is a wonderful tool. So I'm going to go through five, I'm going to try to just get through this really quick. 5 specific ways that God calls us to remember in why we praise. First, to remember God's love. Psalm 59, 16 through 17. But I will sing of your strength. I will sing aloud of your steadfast love in the morning. You know, I was really convicted by, you know, preparing the sermon. So I don't know if Nate could notice, but I was trying to sing really loud today. I was like, oh, my neck is sore. It's hurting, right? But I was trying to sing loud, right? Because, you know, we have a tendency, maybe, you know, I don't know if, well, some of us are Asian. Not all of us are Asian, but we're a little timid. And, you know, maybe we want people to hear what my voice sounds like or, you know, and certainly not dancing, right? It's just, you know, one step at a time here. But God commands us to sing loud. Sing aloud, you tone-deaf person, right? Sing aloud unto God, expressively and exuberantly, of your steadfast love in the morning. For you have been to me a fortress and a refuge in the day of my distress. O my strength, capital S, strength God, I will sing praises to you. For you, O God, are my fortress, the God who shows me steadfast love. So it's not that we haven't heard that like 1,000 times or 1,000,000 times. But the psalmist says, sing it. Sing it aloud in the morning. Sing aloud of God's steadfast love. Remember. Remember your strength, your refuge. It's not about you. It's about him. Right? So that was to remember God's love. Number two, to remember that God is high and lifted up. Psalm 47, 1 through 7. Clap your hands, all you people. Okay, I felt like maybe I gotta talk to Nate. Maybe we gotta introduce a faster song here and there, you know? I lead praise too, right? All right. After 8 years, maybe we're ready for a faster song, okay? Clap your hands, all you people. Shout to God with loud songs of joy. For the Lord, the Most High, is to be feared, a great king over all the earth. So even the song, Sovereign Over Us, God, you are high and lifted up, right? You see all things, even what the enemy does for evil. You mean it for our good, God. Praise you. You're the king. You're the king over all the earth. You're the king over my heart. So let's sing. Let's sing loud. Maybe clap once in a while, okay? Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our king. Sing praises. For God is the king of all the earth. Sing praises with the psalm. Number three, to remember that God is our joy. Psalm 43, send out your light and your truth. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. And I will praise you with the lyre, O God, my God. Psalm 68, but the righteous shall be glad. They shall exult, which means to be overjoyed. To be overflowing with joy. They shall be overflowing with joy before God. They shall be jubilant with joy. Sing to God, sing praises to his name. Now that doesn't mean that we gotta act all joyful when we're mourning and we're sad and things are just crumbling over us, right? Even the New Testament says, you know, be sorrowful but always rejoicing. So there's a tension of sorrow and joy. But the Psalms and the command to praise is to express our and remind ourselves of God, our joy. We are happy to be here, God. Number four, to remember that we have more than we deserve. A lot of the Psalms, gratitude, thanksgiving. Psalm 7, I will give to the Lord the thanks due to his righteousness. He deserves our thanks. And I will sing praise to the name of the Lord, the Most High. He deserves my gratitude because I get way better than I deserve. And we don't feel like that, right? I was talking to Nate when we had dinner. I said, you know, and this is like another, probably another sermon too, and maybe we've talked about it a lot, no one has to twist my arm to complain and grumble. The skids are greased for complaining and grumbling, right? No one has to force me. It just comes out. It's natural, right? Complaining, grumbling. And at the heart of complaining and grumbling is feeling like you have less than what you should get. I talk to my kids about this. When the reason complaining really gets under my skin is they think they deserve better. And I said, you got a wonderful life. So when you complain because what's happening is underneath your baseline of what you expect, right? So we complain.
But gratitude and thanksgiving is the opposite, right? You deserve nothing and you get everything. Okay? We deserve nothing. We deserve hell, separation from God. We deserve all of God's justice and wrath. And he gives us everything, including his son. Okay? I'm always doing better than I deserve. So we should always fight for gratitude, fight for thanksgiving. Thank you, God.
Psalm 107, let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. Let them extol, which means to praise enthusiastically. Let them praise God enthusiastically in the congregations of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. And you have to fight for that, right? The reason it has to be enthusiastic is because I like to complain, right? Because it's easy to complain. It's easy to feel like you have less, like God is shortchanging you. And you got to flip that narrative. You got to preach the gospel to yourself. You got to remind yourself with praise. God, I have so much more than I deserve. Lastly, number five, to help the next generation remember and draw near to God. Psalm 79. But we, your people, the sheep of your pasture, will give thanks to you forever. From generation to generation, we will recount your praise. Psalm 102. Let this be recorded for a generation to come, so that a people yet to be created may praise the Lord. Fascinating. Psalm 105. Give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing praises to him. Tell of all his wondrous works. Right? I hope you see a couple things. First, I hope you see the distinction between worship and praise. Almost every reference to praise and the word praise comes with some kind of, you know, outward expression. Sing loud, dance, use your mouth, lift your hands. So we have to do it, right? And second, isn't it amazing that in our praise, what seems like coming together and singing the same 20 songs over and over again, or 30 songs, or whatever it is that we do, you know, that praise with diligence and enthusiasm, right, not to be fake, but to remind ourselves and to shout praise to God, says from generation to generation, right? So that a people yet to come will praise the Lord. That's amazing. Okay. So we talked about what praise is. We talked about why we praise. Those are those 5 points. And we talked a lot, actually, you know, just in general. I shared a lot as we were going through of how we are to praise, but let me hit 3 more, okay? or let me wrap it up in 3 points. Number 1, wholeheartedly and with others. Psalm 111, verse 1. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord. Number 1, with my whole heart. With your whole heart, with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. We lift up a shout to God
singing songs of praise to God, to worship Him, to elevate His value in our hearts and amongst the people.
I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. Number two, in the company of the upright in the congregation. Okay? Doesn't mean you can't go home and bust out your guitar or a cappella and sing on your own and, you know, give shouts of praise to God in your room or whatever you want to do. You should do that, by the way. Listen to your music and your Christian playlist. But it says, and this is not the only place that it says it, there's actually quite a few references to singing with the peoples, with the congregation. There's something about our expressed praise to God, our wholehearted, enthusiastic, exuberant praise together that lifts God up congregationally in worship. Okay? So one way we are to praise is wholeheartedly and with others, based on what Psalm 111 says. Number two, not quietly, but exuberantly and enthusiastically, which I've said about 20 times now, but let's read another one. Psalm 145, I will extol you, which again means to praise enthusiastically. I will enthusiastically praise you, God, my King. I hope Tammy knows that I love her and I value her. I probably don't say that enough. Okay, I hope she knows that. I don't do it perfectly. There's a lot of, you know, I'm selfish and I'm sinful, but I hope she knows that I love her, okay? And that I value her. But it is important to be expressive in my love for her. Right? Wouldn't you say so? Wouldn't you say that that's important in a marriage? That it's not just that I hold her highly in value in my heart, but that there's some value in the expression of my love for her. Whether that's saying nice things, whether that's setting aside time, or the verbal communication, to say it. There's something about loving your kids, right? You can love your kids, and many of you, you know, hold them very highly in your heart, as you should, because they're your kids. But there's another thing to say, to express, right? Maybe don't shout it, you know, that. They might take that as anger, right? But, you know, expressions, physicality, affections, right? There's something about that that's really important. That if you deprive that from your children, like, it changes the dynamic of the relationship. So you can worship God in your heart, and you should worship God in your heart. You should hold Him, and you should fight to hold them of great value, of great treasure in your heart. Right? To engage Him, because He's alive, and He wants to speak to you, and He wants to speak to me. But there's another thing, to sing and shout and dance in an undignified way onto the glory of God. To express to Him our praise. Right? I know that maybe the guys aren't so great at this in friendship, right? Maybe the ladies are better at things like, you know, encouragement and, you know, expression. The guys aren't great at this. But I would say, even for the men in our friendship, it's important. Right? Like, you know, we hold each other in value and friendship and covenant. But to say it, hey man, you know, I really love you, man. You know, you're the best. You know, I care about you, right?
So there's something about expression that matters in intimacy. So, how are we to praise? Not quietly, but expressively, enthusiastically, right? Unto God. And lastly, every day and forever. Psalm 145, verse 2. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever.
So it starts the verse by saying every day, and then it ends the verse by saying forever and ever.
So every day, every day, every day, God commands me to praise him.
So just to wrap up, normally I'm not, preaching on Sundays, right? Henry normally is, but, Nate and I would rotate in leading praise, right? In leading worship and praise. And, when I became a Christian in college and early in college, and I had, was kind of like playing music and stuff before that. And so when I became a Christian, I was much more interested in the music, right? But then eventually I think we were just running low on praise leaders. And so they sort of needed someone to lead praise. And I was like, okay, all right, right? And, it wasn't my favorite thing to do. And graduated and, came back to our former Korean church and was leading praise. And some of you might remember that. And, to be honest, like, it wasn't really my favorite thing to do. I did it because, there was a need, right? And that's important. It's important to serve out of your need, or out of needs, right? We serve in our gifts, right? But we also serve when there's a need, right? It's like, I can't set up chairs. I'm not gifted at that, right? There was a need. So I stepped into the need. So now I've been leading praise for almost 20 years, right? And off and on, right? And I will say, though, there was I don't know exactly when it was, but there was a turning point. And I'm not demanding to lead praise, but when I realized that this is really important to God, and it's a great privilege that I can lead praise, that I can, right? What I said earlier, right? The Great Commission, the greatest commandment, the very reason why God created us is to worship him, to elevate him in our hearts as our greatest treasure and supreme value. And not just in my heart, but in your hearts and in the hearts of your children and to the ends of the earth, right? That's what discipleship is. Discipleship is helping elevate God in your hearts. That's what growth group is. That's what home group is. That's what worship is. And praise, okay, that 30-minute thing that we do in the beginning and that 10-minute thing that we do at the end, and maybe you do at home, in the shower or in the car or wherever you do it, right? Singing and shouting and, expressing to God is so important because it helps to express our worship and elevating God in our hearts through singing, through his word, through song, and celebration, and also mourning and repentance, but all of it. So it is my great privilege that the church would allow me to continue to lead praise once in a while. Because it helps me, and I hope it helps you.
I hope when we come together, it helps you to sing and to remember these wonderful things about God. Because we remember, we minimize Him. We make Him small. I make Him small. I'm going to make Him small tomorrow morning when I wake up. Okay? And praise is a wonderful tool to build our faith, to cast a vision for a wonderful, big God, and to sing and to shout, to raise our hands, to lift Him up in our hearts. So let's praise Him. Let's praise Him as He deserves. Okay? It does not bother me that you sing off key. It does not bother me that you're a bad dancer, right? It's okay, right? It's all good, right? Well, let's sing. Let's sing. Let's lift Him up in the midst of the people for the next generation. Let's lift Him up and worship, okay? Let's pray. God, thank You for God, You give us means, You give us tools. God, You long to be worshiped and praised, God. Not because You need it, not because You are somehow deficient without it, God, but You invite us to engage You, to be enthusiastic, to worship You, to be reminded of Your great love with great joy, God. What it is to be saved and loved and engaged by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So God, I just pray, God, that You would help us as a church over time to grow in our obedience in praise, God, that we would be not worried about the people to our left and right. We wouldn't be worried about the quality of our voice or our dance, but God, we would sing praise to You, lift up shouts of praise and joy and thankfulness and gratitude to remember You, God, to lift You up in our hearts, and help us to be faithful in that, God, and would You renew us as we do that, God. Thank You. In Jesus' name we pray.